Hello, Potters, and welcome to episode 142 of Cospod, the podcast for all things cosplay, costuming, and as of today, conventions. Our topic today is going to be what to do at your first convention, the very first time you walk in those doors. That was a long time ago for both of us. And we've learned a lot through that time. I think both of us have over 2 decades experience between us.
Yeah,
in terms of convention going. So we've got a few tips and tricks to share with you guys for your first time, because we know that this will be the first time for plenty of people going to Project Akon, which is in, 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Yay. Pal's tired. Pal's been working on cosplay. So.
Well, in that case, I guess I will go first for cosplay updates so we can get these out of the way, since basically our topic is going to take up the vast majority of the entire show.
Right.
Get in my mirror, but I have this guy, and this is actually a duct tape dummy of my forearm. So I could heat shape the gauntlet, because this is all styrene. It's nice and hard. So there's my gauntlet, and I got my bracelet. Got my nice little wave pattern.
Nice.
And I got my knee cups, which I did use the Warbler.
Yay!
And it's actually heat shaped. The tape was to hold the seams in place when I had my heat gun on it, so they wouldn't pop back up, because heat guns and hot glue do not mix very well. It softens the glue, and then everything that you just tacked down comes right back up. And I won't pull the other stuff. I have a pile on my printer of all of my armor pieces. Basically, I have all the armor pieces done. They just need paint. I finished trimming them right after dinner. I installed the zippers on my greaves. And so basically, I just need to spray paint them and then drill a couple of holes, and that's going to be the end of the armor.
Yay!
And I cut out my emblem, and so now I have to Dremel down the edges so that they're a little bit less boxy. And then coat that in Mod Podge, give it a little coat of spray paint, and I think all I really need to do is just order the gloves, which I'll have to do priority shipping at this point. A lot of things have been happening in the last month. And maybe if I have time, I'll sew the pouches. I don't know if I'll be able to actually finish it. For those who were excited to see Milo and Aquo, unfortunately, I will not have them for the con. The large majority of my time has been not only taken up by work and life, and being very sick in the last week, I actually had to go to a specialist this past Thursday so I could get some stronger meds. So I am feeling slightly better, but it has impeded my ability to work on cosplay when you're bedridden. And also, kind of briefly outside of cosplay, I had the opportunity to enter a scholarship contest for a trip to a conference that, if I do get to go, will probably be the only time in my life I get to go. And I had to write a white paper as my entry into the scholarship contest. So I spent a weekend writing a white paper instead of working on cosplay, because yeah, this is a major conference and it's all expenses paid. So sorry, cosplay. This kind of took priority for one weekend. So I wrote a white paper, but I will have hopefully caught up. This is a long weekend for most of us. For those who are not in the States, this is Memorial Day weekend, where we honor those who have served in our armed forces. And as such, Monday is actually a holiday for a lot of people, unless you work retail or IT. And so we get 3 days to work on cosplay instead of 2. Or in my case, I get 5 days.
Woo!
Yes, Memorial Day also does mean sales on everything. Sales on nearly everything, but most manufacturers just look at Memorial Day as an excuse because people have the day off, so they'll entice them to come to the store and empty their wallet instead.
Pretty much, yeah.
Like, pretty much every major cosplay supply outlet I know of is having some sort of sale this week. Not really
part of the
people
norm.
For Project Akon, but it will help you if you're preparing for something like, say, Infinicon or Anime Fest or PAX. So there is that.
Are you trying to inform people of where we're going next?
I'm not going to PAX.
I might be going to PAX.
I can't get that time off. But we are press for Anime Fest. And we're running Infinicon's cosplay contest. And I did note that today in my email box, Anime North Texas tickets have just gone on sale as of today. And if you got the email from them, they have a special discount in there. So, of course, there is that. So that's pretty much what I have been doing when not hyped up on meds.
All right. Guess that means it's my turn then. Yay. So more Star Wars stuff continuing from last time. My wig is done. Yay. I still have it strapped to the head because I still have to trim up the lace front here. But all the lovely beading and twisting and twirling and craziness on the back of this is done. Weight-wise, I don't know how much it weighs. I know I will be taking ibuprofen with me because I'm sure I will need it afterwards.
Ibuprofen is not ever a bad idea to take to a con anyway, but especially if you're wearing a wig.
Yeah. Especially a wig with some heft to it, because I didn't take anything out of this wig. I actually added wefts to this wig, and what's in here is actually a pantyhose filled. It's so
big,
ridiculous.
Long, thick, has much girth, pantyhose stuffed with filling.
With quilting batting, yes. So it's actually kind of light and fluffy here, and if you squish it here, it's really nice and soft. But because I didn't take out any of the bulk of the actual wig itself, it still has some heft to it, so it is kind of heavy.
I only said those things because Val told me that we had to.
It's funny when you look at the item, because I actually have like a series of photos of me making this, you just have to look at it and be like, okay, it's pantyhose sausage. I mean, I don't know what else to call it.
The work in progress pics make it look like the little the squeezable tubes that you had as a kid that were filled with the liquid and the soap that were very slippery and you weren't supposed to be able to hold on to them. It looks just like that in the picture.
It's so stupid. It's great. Yeah, it's all curled up in here now. So yeah, I mean, and weight-wise, it's really not that bad. It sits on my head. It doesn't shift. I have wig clips up here, so it's not going to move or anything. It's just, you know, after a couple hours, this is going to get heavy and start, you know, becoming a burden. But yeah, the only other thing is that the hair bands, I did make these on my own. These are a little too bedazzled. I just kind of free-formed it and didn't realize until I was done with the third one that I went a little overkill on the purling of this. So after Akon, I'm going to readjust these so they're not so crazy over-the-top shiny and glittery. But I think for the time being, it's okay. So yeah, there we go. Fun wig. I'm also proud of the fact that I have no glue in this wig whatsoever. So this is all just hairspray and styling. There is not a single stitch of glue. These are all held in by hair clips that I sewed in. And then the smaller bands are actually sewed directly to each other. So it's just a matter of me clipping them off and we're good to go. Yay. All right. The other things that I have been working on, sticking this back on its head because, you know, reasons. I'm adoring the crap out of the sticky back vinyl still, and I made my armbands. They are so awesome and so wonderful. I love them. They're so nice and shiny and smooth. I love this stuff. I'm going to use it for everything now. I don't know what the everything is because I don't really use gold and silver very often, but I'm going to keep using these. These are great. So my arm... No. Shush, no. I don't want to make armor. So the backing of these is craft foam that I heated first and made sure that I got the shape that I wanted before I put on the vinyl. And then, of course, I painted it so that way, you know, it's uniform all around. And then I just cut out the vinyl in the shape that I needed it and then just slowly adhered it on. And there you go. Done. It took me maybe 2 hours tops. Like this took me no time at all versus the amount of time it probably would have taken me if I had used Wonderflex or Warbla or one of the other thermoplastics. This was way faster and less painting involved. Yay! I was too afraid of doing like vinyl sandwiched in between and then it slipping on my arm just because this is so smooth. I wanted to have some traction on my arm just in case because I'm kind of nervous like that. And it's all held together with Velcro because I love Velcro. How can you not? All right, so that's enough for Amidala stuff. Blah. The other thing I've been working on because I'm psychotic and I decided, hey, 2 weeks before the con, let's make another costume because why not? So I'm making Blake's outfit from season 2 of Ruby. All right. I'm not touching it because my hands are kind of dirty and gunky right now, and I don't want to mess up the pristine whiteness going on here. So the jacket took me just about under 5 hours to piece this sucker together, patterned it, did a mock-up in about an hour, and then stuck this baby together. And you can see, whew, it is fully lined. Yay! And I did a cute little trick on this one. This section I don't mind using. So this zipper actually is a separating zipper. And then I just did a snap here. So that way it all looks nice and seamless. And there's no weird white zipper in between the black area. Yay! So I'm just starting this project. I already have my pants done. I already have the boots and like some of the other accessories, like her armbands, her hair band, they're all from season one. So I don't have to worry about redoing any of those. Really, all I have left to do is the belt is done. I'm making her weird butt flap thing that's on her belt. I don't know what the heck to call it. It's a butt flap thing that's just there for reasons. Anyway, so that's what I'm currently working on. And as long as everything goes well, I should have it almost done tonight. So here's the weird butt flap thing I'm working on. Yay. And I have this whole lovely shiny Mira organza, but it's in pink. So I have to dye this first before I actually cut it up and attach it. But literally, this is the last bit of it. And then I have costume done. Yay.
So much easier when you don't have armor, isn't it?
I love not making armor because armor sucks and I suck at making it.
I love making it. It just takes time.
It takes a lot of time. And I know there are some people who are very adept with the materials that they can whip through an entire armor set in like a couple of hours and be like, that's it. Cool. I'm not one of those people. I like painting the armor. I think that's fun. I love painting and I love distressing. I can't stand making it. It takes me forever. I think the most intense one I've done was Fu from Magic Knight Rayearth, which had that weird shoulder pauldron / chest top thingy-mabopper. Then I had a hip guard, and then I had my knee guards. And that was an insane amount of time. What took way more time than what I really, really, really wanted to do. So, yeah. I don't want to do armor ever, ever again. Ever. If I can avoid armor at all costs, I absolutely will. And I say that with such joy and glee. I will stick to fabric costumes forever.
I had to show off my new toy.
Show off your new toy.
I remembered that I got a new toy yesterday.
Yay! Show. Yep. Oh, she got a shiny. That looks like a very new hot glue gun.
This is an AdTech Precision Pro. I spent a decent chunk of this. Has a precision tip on it.
Ooh, I want.
This is nicer than the standard little $5 glue guns that you get because this has a much finer tip on it. My only quip or my only qualm about it is that it leaks
constantly.
So if you just sit it down, there are glue that are constantly coming out of it. And it wastes hot glue, basically. So there is that. This does take mini glue sticks, which is nice. It actually comes with a set of 8 monster glue sticks that I'm afraid to use because regular glue sticks, I don't know if you can kind of see it in the picture, but they're a little bit cloudy.
Mm-hmm.
These are not completely clear. The ones that they give you are glass clear.
Nice.
You would want to use those for like gem casting. So I'm afraid to use them. But you can get these at basically any average craft store. They carry these with the regular ones. My only advice to you guys is do not get a cordless glue gun.
No, never, 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 never. You have no idea. Just always get corded anytime you can.
Anytime you get tools in general, I would say if you have the choice, get the corded version. If nothing else, because they're consistent. You don't want to suddenly start losing power when you're in the middle of working on a costume. It does not go well.
Yeah, think of them like you would with your internet. You know, you have Wi-Fi and you have your corded internet. Which one's better? Obviously, it's the landline. You want to use the corded system. So just think of it that way, and that'll help you remember. Always go with the cord. Yep.
And also consider that you get what you pay for.
Yeah.
You know, you have the $5 glue gun, and then you have the $20 glue gun, which is about how much this cost.
I got a $10 one. It's still kicking. Still do good.
Don't get me wrong. I love my other glue guns. They have served me very well. I have two. I have one high temp and I have one low temp. This one is high temp. So that I can do my detail work inside when I need to with styrene. So that is my Purdy. That was my toy.
Special toy for Amber.
It helps with armor making and making flatter edges. All right. So on to our topic for the day, what to do at your first convention. And this is not necessarily like what sort of content to enjoy. This is more of how do you plan for it? And then what do you do once you get there?
It's trying to get the most out of your experience.
Mm-hmm. All right.
As we both take a sip.
Yep. Pinky out.
Pinky out. Whoop.
All right. So from experience, my piece of advice when going to your first convention, make sure you actually have the time off of work. And that somebody is covering for you for sure. And that your coworkers and your boss have the expectation that they cannot call you back to the office.
Because Amber has experience with this.
It really, really sucks when they call you back to the office. And you have to leave the con.
I was not expecting that to be your first.
Well, because if you don't have the time off of work, then you can't go. And then everything else is moot. You know, you don't have to worry about transportation or housing or anything else. Make sure that you actually have the time off of work and that it's scheduled on your boss's calendar so that they don't forget. It's very important. And if for some unknown reason you end up having, you know, basically a misunderstanding with your boss and your boss is like, no, you have to work, do the right thing and go into work. Don't try and fool your boss and go to the con anyway, because having a steady source of income is a very important thing as an adult. Don't mess with it. Just go to work. There are always other cons. There are always other A-cons. And I know that that's really hard to tell yourself when you're really excited about going, but I have been there and done that recently. And it was unpleasant. It's probably the nicest way I could possibly have said that.
Yeah, it's definitely the nicest way, because you were more than not happy about it. And I don't think there's any nicer way that I could say that. Mm.
All right. So moving on from that one. All right. So next thing. Transportation there and a place to stay. When you go to your first convention, you don't have to stay in the con hotel, but it does tend to make for a better experience if you can. Simply because they're going to schedule most of the events around the con hotel. Of course, in Project Akon's case, and Dragon Con and SDCC and a couple other of the larger cons, it's not held in only one hotel. So basically you get your choice. But you'll want to stay in a hotel that is near to the convention. As close to walking distance as you can afford. We realize, you know, people are on budgets. There are high school students that go to this. We understand. So find a good place to stay. Split the room cost as best as you can without invoking the fire marshal.
Which basically means don't stuff your room.
Correct. And I realize that there are those who are going to say, as long as you don't get caught, it's okay. Or just don't tell anybody. It doesn't work that way, because it's not just the fire marshal that gets involved. One, you risk being kicked out of the hotel and not refunded your money, which would be a very bad time for many of you. But also, when they build the elevators and escalators, they're rated for a certain roughness of use and a capacity based on the hotel's capacity. You know, if the hotel holds 1,400 people, then they rate the elevators and escalators and everything else for 1,400 people's worth of use. Well, if you room stuff, the hotel is suddenly holding 2,200 people. The elevators and escalators are literally not built for that. And then you're going to have a very bad time walking up the stairs to your room on the 18th floor because the elevator broke. It happens, kids.
All the time.
So just please don't room stuff. We realize there are still people who are going to do it.
it's going to happen. And I think speaking from experience from both of us, it's definitely a different world when you go from room stuffing to just having the, you know, the maximum number of people in the room, you know, when it's only 4 or 5 instead of 12. Depending on where you're staying at, because I know the rooms that we have, because we have a suite.
And some rooms allow a bunk as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Since we have a suite, we can actually have up to 6 people stay in our area. So that's fine. But, you know, going from like the floor to actually having bed space, it makes the convention experience a million times better when you can actually get a proper night's sleep without having to worry about rolling over into 11 other people crammed in your room.
That way nicely into another tip for going to your first con. Ignore the people who say that sleep is for the week. Ignore people who say that sleep is for after the convention. Ignore them because they are wrong.
They are definitely wrong. Everybody has to sleep.
We get it. You're young. You're invincible. You think you can just catch up on.
I wish.
Get a good night's sleep at the con. You will thank yourself for it. Others around you will thank you for it, because then you will not become patient zero. Because that's part of the reason that you need a good night's sleep. It's for your immune system. Con plague happens every year. We hear the stories. We hear people complain after the con that somebody got them infected. Don't be that guy. You'll be a lot happier and a lot more capable of enjoying the con if you sleep. Don't hype up on monster drinks. There was the recent story in the news of somebody who overdosed on caffeine and paid with his life for it. Don't be that guy. Just get sleep. 6-2-1, kids. 6 hours of sleep, 2 square meals, 1 shower every single day. That's minimum, by the way. Absolute minimum. You should actually strive to do more than that. Except maybe the shower. You can do 1 shower a day. All right. So, next tip, transportation. You're going to want a way of getting there. You're going to the area at least to an extent if you are driving yourself, because you're going to have to park. And you're going to want to know where the decent parking areas are, and also know that they're going to jack up the price on you when you get there if it's an open street lot, because they can and it's not illegal. So you need to budget for more than what it says it normally costs. Pro tip to first time convention goers. It's probably good to budget about double. Doesn't mean they'll raise it that high, but it's good to budget that way.
I can definitely tell you that from experience.
Yes.
I think we both
can. If you do not wish to park yourself, there are always the options of public transit. In many places, definitely for Project Akon. In fact, they have a special TRE holiday schedule that they are running on Sunday to make sure that people can get home. And there are always the ubiquitous Uber and Lyft and other such taxiing services. You can also carpool with friends, or in Akon's case, carpool with strangers. The forums are very strange places to make friends, but people have made carpool friends and carpool buddies on the forums. Sure, why not? Just be safe, whatever you do. Make sure you budget enough. Make sure that you walk to and from the con in groups if you are at night or very early in the morning. Practice safety first. And make sure that your transit is reliable. Because remember, if your ride somehow gets called back to the office at the con, or gets sick, or anything else, and they have to leave early, you suddenly have no way back. May wish to have a backup plan, just in case.
You may also want to check the area around the convention beforehand and see what the parking options are, because it may be in an area where parking is limited, or parking is restricted to businesses only, or for residential only. And you don't want to accidentally park somewhere where you should not be and either get ticketed or towed, because that can happen too. So just be very, very aware of all the signs and all the cautionary. You park at your own risk if you decide to ignore them.
Parking tip for noobs. If you're not supposed to park there, don't.
Don't park there.
You risk getting towed hardcore. We have friends who have gotten towed from Akon because they parked in the wrong place or forgot to feed the parking meter. And they can and will tow you happily because they want your money. And you don't want to end up paying the $200 you had allocated for the dealer's den to get your car back just so you can leave.
I'm almost positive that every single convention that I have attended, there has been at least one person that has had their vehicle towed.
And don't think because it's unlabeled that nobody owns that lot.
Oh, God, no.
There are government parking lots that may not necessarily be labeled all the way around. There are business parking lots that are the same way that belong to warehouses. And, you know, there are parking lots for private businesses like medieval times where, sure, you can park there during business hours, but you can't do overnight parking there. DART stations are the same way around here. Public transit, you can park there during public transit hours. Afterwards, they tow you.
Yep. No ifs, ands, or buts.
And hotel parking is not always free. Do not assume it is free. Please check with the hotel to see how much they charge you, because otherwise you may get a surprise charge on your room. And also note that some hotels only allow valet parking. They don't always have self-park. For Project Akon, that is going to be a major problem for people. If you have never been to Fort Worth, all of the surrounding hotels only do valet parking. So it's going to cost you about $25 a day. Just plan for it, kids. This is what being an adult is. All right. So you've got your lodging squared away. You've got your transportation squared away. You've got your time off squared away. You're ready to start actually planning for the con. Monies. You may wish to take cash in addition to your cards. And that's simply because some dealers and or food vendors don't take cards. They just either don't have reception where they are, or they don't have little square readers. Or they may just choose not to because merchants pay a fee to credit card vendors whenever they do take credit cards as payments. So it may help to take multiple forms of payment. Make sure that you allot enough for food. For good food, please. Ramen and ramune do not a convention make. As much as you might like it, and as much as you may try and, you know, basically starve yourself to try and get more money to spend on other things, please don't. Save yourself the trouble. Budget for if you have dietary needs, those can be researched in advance. There are options for gluten-free. There are options for vegans. There are options for people on all sorts of diets. We can help. Just post on the forums what you need, and the locals can help point you to where you can eat. And there's usually food trucks on premises too. It's good to budget about $10 a meal, if not more. If you're going for a nice meal, 20 or 30. But for just street food or fast food, budget about $10 a meal. And remember, that's 2 square meals a day, so that's minimum $20 a day.
So more on the money thing. I personally always recommend to newbies to bring cash with them, not necessarily their cards, just because something about having that cash on your hand when you're in the dealer's room or in the artist alley, and you can see it, and you can see it physically being taken away, it kind of reinforces in your mind, okay, I need to hold some of this back so I actually have money at the end of the day to eat something. So it's just a mental thing, and it's like, yeah, I know I could probably do that with my debit card or my credit card, and it's not a big deal. But at the end of the day, you may not realize that you spent $100 more than what you intended, and that can lead to bigger trouble. So just as a suggestion to those who are going for the first time or second or third time, sometimes just having cash only can save you a lot of headaches in the long run, and it'll ensure that you actually have money at the end of the day to eat.
Right. And if you absolutely insist on having a card, consider putting it on a prepaid gift card. That way you're limited in your budget. You have exactly what's on the card and no more. And once it's done, you're done. So, something else to consider. As far as spending monies, I've seen this asked as a question is, you know, how much do people budget to spend at cons on things other than food and parking and essentials? that really differs on the person, honestly.
And the type of convention that it is too, because not all conventions are created equal. Like, you don't go to PAX or to most gaming conventions and expect to spend a whole lot of money on merchandise, because there's not really a whole lot of merchandise available. But anime conventions and like geek and comic book conventions, you tend to spend a lot of money on merchandise.
See, I'm someone who spends very little, if anything, in the dealer's den, mostly because the things that I want there I can make at any time, because it's usually clothing. But to each their own, you know, you budget whatever you feel is comfortable for your income level. Please do not spend more than, you know, you absolutely have to the point where you don't have money for rent or food or taking care of your family, that sort of thing. Obviously, prioritize like an adult.
Aw, I don't want an adult. I'm a teenager.
Bear in mind that if you do things at your first convention, like gaming competitions, you know, round robin tournament type things, or if you go to workshops like cell painting workshops or miniature painting workshops, and even some autograph sessions, we'll also ask for a small fee up front to pay for materials. So if you end up wanting to do those sorts of things at convention, bear in mind that those are extra on top of your badge. The badge does not cover those things. And usually those sorts of things will only take payment in cash.
Mm-hmm.
Because they just don't have time to handle card payments. They're trying to get everybody in and out. All right. So make sure that you budget enough money. The other thing that I would say to bring with you, aside from obviously sundries like hygienic items, clothing, like pack like you're packing for a basic weekend trip. I'm not going to sit here and go into what sort of basic needs that everybody should be bringing, like deodorant, toothbrush and stuff. You guys should know that. If you plan to get things from the dealer's den, it may be wise to bring a poster tube, which you can get at basic retail stores. It will help protect it from getting wet, wrinkled, and torn in your travels back to, you know, your hometown. And that can be a very valuable thing if you want, you know, pristine posters to hang in your room. And likewise, if you plan to get any small collectibles or things that may be damaged in transit, you may wish to purchase a little shipping box, not to ship it back to yourself, but just to protect it, so that when you place it into your luggage, it isn't going to get crushed by mistake on the way back. It would really suck if you bought a limited edition figurine only to find it has broken in half. So it may be worth it just, you know, pack a flat box and just put your things in it when you go. If you end up not needing them, that's fine. Most stores will allow you to return it on your way back. But it's good to have them, especially at your first convention. Not every vendor will provide them.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So next thing to take along would be a schedule. This can either be paper or it can be on your e-device of choice. A lot of cons have gotten into the whole guidebook thing or a custom book application for the con. You want to keep as close to a real-time schedule with you at all times, which is usually going to be the e-version because it's updated faster than the print version. The reason you want to keep it with you is that conventions never run the way they're planned on paper. Times change, panels change rooms. Sometimes panelists have to cancel because they have family emergencies, whatnot. Sometimes they're moved to a completely different hotel, which involves a lot of walking very quickly. Unless you have a Segway. But it's good to keep that on hand so that you can check and make sure that your next panel is actually where you thought it was when you thought it was. Just in case. Because you may find that you're hoofing it somewhere else. Or the panel is canceled and you have a free hour on your hands. And then you can go people watch. Speaking of people watching, something that I think everyone should take with them on their first convention is a camera. Whether it's your cell phone, whether it's a point and shoot, or whether it's something a little more professional, you'll want to document your experience. You can take pictures of cosplayers, you can take pictures, pardon me, of guests. Make sure with those two, ask their permission first. And I know that seems like such a little trite thing, but really, it takes all of 10 seconds to say, excuse me, may I please have your picture? And that's really important if you have guests from out of country who may have different cultures and different standards. It's especially with some of the guests at ACON, they don't allow live photos of themselves. And they have their reasons, and they have every right to restrict you from taking their picture. So ask first. Most of the time people will say it's okay. Generally, it's considered passé to take pictures of people while eating. So please don't. If you see that somebody obviously has half their costume on the ground sitting next to them and they're resting, texting on their phone, no picture. You can always ask them if they're willing to, you know, reset so that you can take their picture, and that's fine, but don't just sit there and take the picture of them on the ground. Cosplayers do not like that. Guests like it even less. And of course, you can always take what they consider to be environmental shots of the convention center, general crowds. It's expected that basically if you're in a public space, people can take pictures of you. It's just considered courtesy to ask if it's a single subject. But you can always take wide shots, crowd shots, audience shots, film panels. That can always be a wonderful thing, and you can upload them to the internet for everybody else to enjoy. And you can take pictures, you know, of the area around the convention center. If you're walking around, so for example, Fort Worth has the Botanic Gardens. You can go walk around in the gardens and take pictures. It's always nice to just have memories of your first convention experience, because it really is something special. And pictures convey it in ways that words often can't. If you do have a camera that has a very small amount of storage space, may I recommend taking extra memory cards?
Or upgrading your memory card.
Yes, you will run out of space.
You will definitely run out of space, especially your first time out, you will run out of space. And I think both Amber and I can speak from experience, because we started going to conventions before cameras on phones were really a hot thing and were like a staple. So I had my little dinky point and shoot that did have a memory card. I think at the time it was, I want to say 4 gig, because it really didn't have any other options. That was, oh, hers was 2 gig.
Mine was 2. Oh,
wow. But I know I filled that up probably my second day at my convention, and I didn't even realize it until I was about to take another photo, and I was like, oh, well, huh. I can't do that now.
You may look at your phone and go, oh, well, I have a 64 gigabyte internal memory on my phone. Well, if you've already filled it with 32 gigs of other things, then you've only got 32 gig left.
Yeah.
So something to keep in mind. And then, you know, after the convention, you'll have to remember to actually dump the pictures and video onto your computer for processing.
And free up space again.
Yes. For the next convention, when you do this all over again.
No kidding.
This kind of goes along with it, but when you do go to your first convention, it is great to spend, you know, as much time as possible in the convention itself. Take a little bit of time off the convention. And I know it sounds kind of weird for me to say that, but sometimes it can help if you simply just take, you know, 10, 15 minutes of break and just walk around the convention center, walk outside, just take a breather. Or even if you want to stay at the convention, but just take a little bit of a load off, you can always go find a table that's over by the side. A lot of places have little mini diners like a Starbucks and such. Just go sit there and people watch. That's actually one of the most fun things that you can do. I know that sounds kind of bizarre. It's one of the most fun things you can do at your first convention, especially if it's at one of the larger conventions like Anime Expo or BlizzCon or Dragon Con, where there's a lot of cosplay and a lot of interesting people. It's really interesting to just kind of watch people as they mingle about. And I mean, you may or may not wish to take pictures of that, but just watch. Just take a break, take a mental load off, and reset for the next portion of the convention. Which brings me into a little bit more of the scheduling of the convention and what sort of content. People go to conventions for different things, and I'm kind of stalling for time as Val has gone off to take care of. But some people go to cons for panels. Some people go to cons for parties. Some people go to cons for cosplay. Some people go to cons for guests. Some people go for all of the above. And some people just go for a chance to go hang out with their friends. All of those are perfectly valid reasons to go to a convention. And when you go to your first convention, you probably won't know which of those most appeals to you yet. So you'll probably want to try a little of all of the above. So look through the schedule when it comes out, which, depending on the convention, can be anywhere between a week to 4 weeks before the convention. Some conventions come out even earlier. But when it comes out, go ahead and either have a copy on your computer or print out a copy and go through and highlight any particular panels that really hold your interest, that you absolutely have to go to. And make sure that you jot those down or somehow mark them so that you remember to go. And then kind of plan your convention schedule around those particular panels that really interest you. But also make sure that you have a little bit of time with friends, because obviously if your friends are going, you'll probably know. They've posted it all over Facebook, all over social media. I'm going to this con. I hope to see everybody there. And, you know, it can be refreshing to just sit and have lunch with them. Even if you just walk over to one of the food trucks and all get food and just sit down in the Starbucks and just talk about how it's been so far, catch up on news, ask them how their convention's been like. You know, a lot of the people around here in the DFW area, we usually will get together for dinner after the majority of the con day is over. And we'll just all sit and talk about the con and relax and eat whatever food we've chosen for that evening and just have a nice night out with friends to kind of cap off a nice day at the con. If there are any guests in particular that you want to see at the con, make sure that you note down their particular schedule, because guests usually have specific panels that they're teaching or specific autograph sessions. Those should be announced on the schedule. And that way you can plan in advance, you know, kind of as you're shuffling the slots into your schedule of the things that you want to absolutely make sure that you do, so that you can put those in there. This is another way. My experience is so long and colorful. This is another experience story, kids. I'll make it short. Make sure you don't overload your schedule at the con. Don't do back-to-back-to-back-to-back panels and events to where you have no time with friends, you have no downtime, you have no time to eat. You basically end up getting frazzled at the end of the con. So from experience, schedule downtime. Don't just tell yourself, oh, well, I'll just take an hour whenever I can. That hour will never happen because you'll always find something else to fill it. You have to actually put it into your schedule, kind of like your lunchtime at work, where you schedule out that block and you say, nobody's allowed to bother me during these times. Put that into your schedule and stick to it. And then make sure that you actually take the downtime during that downtime. You know, whether it's people watching, whether it's eating, whether it's going through your loot bag that they gave you at registration, if you just bought manga, maybe you can kind of page through it. Whatever you'd like to do, take a load off. Yes, the convention is going on. There's exciting things and shiny things everywhere and distractions. Sometimes you just kind of have to reset so that you get maximum enjoyment out of the con, because otherwise your attention is just kind of scattered everywhere and you burn out. At least that's what happens when you get older.
I would definitely say when you're going into a convention, whether it's your first time or your 500th time, you know, you need to be very aware. You need to set the expectation for yourself that you will not be able to see or do everything. It is just impossible. It is not going to happen. There is no way that you're going to be able to do all of it. So prioritize and focus on the things that you really, really want to do. Like, pick one or two things you want to do each day And then you can build the rest of your schedule around those items. You know, do you want to go to the cosplay contest? Do you want to go to the Gundam mech building panel? Do you want to do a video game tournament? I mean, focus on the things that you really, really, really want to do at the convention. And then the rest of it will kind of naturally build itself around it. But definitely the key thing, and I learned this at Dragon Con very, very, very early on, you cannot see everything. You cannot experience everything. It is just not going to happen, so don't even try.
At least at the larger cons. Now, again, when you first go to the con, you may not know which of those things picks your fancy, whether it's the panels or the guests or the cosplay or the gaming. So you can still schedule a little bit of each, but only do a little bit of each. You know, pick maybe one, two, three things at most from each. And then, you know, have a little bit of downtime in between, because you also have to account for the fact you're going to have to walk between events. You're going to have time to get there. And speaking of downtime, also make sure that you schedule meals.
Mm-hmm.
You have to eat. And this is another one of those, if you say, well, I'm just going to eat between panels. Eating on the run is not fun, guys. It's really not. You want to actually take, I would say minimum is a half hour. Take time, even if you've packed food, to actually sit down and eat it. Or like stand leaning against the wall if you don't feel like sitting, whatever. But just stop. Stop and eat the food. So yes, make sure that you schedule, but you kind of don't. Because conventions are this weird tango between hard scheduled events and kind of winging it. Pretty much every convention I've ever been to is a combination of those things in some form or fashion. All right, so basically we've gone over lodging, transportation, time off work, money, food, panels / schedule. Do we need to go over anything else before we hit the cosplay part?
I don't think so.
All right. So, cosplay at your first convention, which actually is becoming more and more normal. When we first started, cosplay didn't happen at your first convention.
No, usually you didn't learn about cosplay until you went to the convention. Then you're like, oh, what's this thing?
Right. So, as far as cosplaying at your first convention, it's not really too different from cosplaying at, say, your 10th convention. The experience actually ends up being about the same. The only difference is that you won't have experienced other people's reaction to your cosplay. And you're going to be very nervous. You're going to be anxious about their reactions. That is okay. And it's not going to be the way you expect. Because I know in a lot of people's heads, they'll either build up this image of, oh, everyone's going to love this and they're all going to say so and they're all going to take my picture. And it usually ends up being the opposite of that. Or at least they never take your picture. Or everyone's going to hate my costume. No one's going to know what this is. It's really obscure. I don't know why I did this. And then you find out that there really are fans in the fandom who really do know who you are. And they kind of squee just a little bit when they see you. And then they take your picture even though you may not actually know it. Because not everybody remembers to ask to take the picture. So I would go in... I would set a low bar for expectations for your first time, just because you won't know what to expect. But at the same time, I would put less expectation on having other people enjoy it, and maybe put more of an expectation on you enjoying it. You should have fun. You should enjoy the experience in this costume, portraying a character that you like, and felt passionate enough about it to make a costume of them. To make a physical representation of a 2D character. That takes courage. In and of itself, you should be congratulated for that. So don't put too much into what other people are going to negatively tell you at the convention. So just go in with the expectation of having a good time. Maybe not partying too hard. Because I know that there are people who party a little too hard at conventions. And that's probably the last thing that we should probably touch on. But for first-time cosplayers, also make sure that you have a repair kit, because things break. And you may not know that from experience, but things break, whether you like it or not. People bump into you. You bump into things. People spill things on you, et cetera, et cetera. Things happen. Shiz happens. Have a repair kit to fix that. And if you do not have a repair kit, and if you cannot make one, go on social media and ask for Cosplay SOS. And usually some of the most experienced cosplayers at the con will have a kit that you can borrow or that they can bring to you, because we all like helping each other. You know, we're happy to supply a couple of safety pins if that's what you need, or we can help you hot glue things back together. That's perfectly fine. So take one with you and make sure that if nothing else, if nobody takes your picture, go in your hotel room and take a selfie. Sometimes that's all the photographic proof people have of their costume. That's cool. Nothing wrong with that. I've taken selfies of my costumes before. And that literally is the only photographic evidence I have that those costumes exist. That's okay. It's cool. As long as you have a good time, that's all that matters. All right. So, the partying too much thing at your first con.
Which I think everybody probably experiences, or most people at least experience.
I was going to say, I think I am one of the only people on Earth that has not. And that's because I'm a prude and a party pooper. I go to bed early. I don't do drugs. I don't smoke.
There's a way that you can have fun and go to a party without having to get crazy and over the top like some people can get. You can, I mean, you know your limits. I'm sure you've probably have done
or
it before.
Or you may not know your limits.
Or you may not know your limits. So don't go crazy with it. You know, if you are of legal drinking age and you have not consumed alcohol before, which means you need to be 21 or older, please, legal.
In the United States, that may differ from country to country. So whatever the local laws are in your country.
So as long as it's legal, if you've never had alcohol before, only drink one drink. See how you feel. Make sure you eat something so that way the alcohol absorbs into your system properly so you don't go crazy. Because the really big thing, guys.
If you've never had alcohol, do it with other people in the room.
Never
do it alone.
That you know.
Yes. Never, ever do something like that alone, because if something were to happen, you need to have other people in the room, preferably other people who have actually dealt with excessive alcohol, because they will know what to do to help you. And it's good to know who medical staff are at the con, or at least how to reach them in case something does happen. We're not saying this to be scary. We're saying this because we have seen people get very drunk at cons, and we don't want people to get hurt. You know, you can party responsibly. Heaven knows there are plenty of people that have parties at Acon and all other cons. They'll post about it on social media where their room is. Please be careful about doing that. You may find random people come stalk you in that room. At any rate, make sure you're of legal age. Do not bring drugs into the room, because the police will know, and there are police at every convention, if not police and security. So they can also get you kicked out of the hotel. Don't do drugs, kids. If you have to smoke, make sure that you're in a smoking room or take it outside. Make sure that you're obeying city ordinance, because some hotels mandate you have to be a certain distance from the entrance of the hotel. Please don't stink up the elevators or the entrance for those of us that don't smoke.
God, because there are people who actually have like health issues and asthma
problems.
Thank
you. I actually have breathing problems around smoke. And breathing issues, this is the thing I'm going to close on.
Go for it.
For your first con, don't spray other people with substances like Febreze, like
Axe,
like soap. Please don't spray other people with them, especially without asking first, because some of us will have an attack, a very physical attack. and we cannot breathe in a very literal sense when you do that. And you won't know until the person actually starts choking. I know you think it's funny. I know some people enjoy trolling. Please don't. It will not make a good impression at your first con. I mean, we're in my fantasy world, we're all adults and can behave like them.
Yeah, that's not gonna happen. On a positive note, have fun.
Yeah, above all, have a good time, or at least try your hardest to have a good time. There will be circumstances outside of your control. Just roll with it.
Take it all in.
Just go with it. You know, take pictures, attend the things you want to attend, you know, maybe purchase a trinket or two in the dealer's den, eat good food, have a good time with friends, head back home, and then tell everybody about it.
Make time to just sit there, enjoy, and just experience it for what it is. Because usually, that's really the big thing when you're first time at a convention is just being there in that moment and seeing everything as it happens around you. Because it's just, it's almost like being at a colorful circus or like Cirque du Soleil. You're just so impressed by all the moving parts and all the things that are going on around you that you just have to stand there and absorb all of it.
And it does lose a little bit of its shine after the first time.
It does. It's never the same after your first time.
It loses a little bit of its luster after the first time. So that's why we're kind of saying soak it all in, because after that, it's luster. All right. I believe we're done.
Yep. We're such positive, peppy, happy people.
And of course, take what we say with a grain of salt. Obviously, this is not a laundry list of requirements. Take what you will of it and do what you will with it. And of course, if you guys have any suggestions, questions, compliments that you'd like to give us, or hey, if you're going to be at Project Akon and want to catch up with us, let us know. You know, we will be there as press. I can't promise that we will know our schedule very far in advance, but we will do our best. And hopefully we will see many of you guys there and take your pictures and maybe even interview you. Of course, you can catch all of our material on our social media, which you can find here.
There you go.
And when we are done with the Project Akon content, you will be able to find it both on our YouTube page and on our website, and probably on our Twitch as well. However, I would say give us at least a week to decompress, because we have day jobs that we have to return to right after the con. So give us a week so we can process all the pictures and vid, and then we'll start rolling them out for you guys. Otherwise, we wish everybody who is preparing for Akon a very low-stress preparatory time, even though I know that won't happen. I will still wish you a low-stress preparatory time, and we will see you guys at Project Akon in 2 weeks. Otherwise, we will see the rest of you guys in episode 143. Happy cosplaying, everybody.
Bye, guys.